It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, March 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson. I am standing outside the New York Stock Exchange in downtown Manhattan right now, where the tech company Snap will go public today. Snap is, of course, the parent company of the disappearing messaging app Snapchat, and its initial public offering is expected to be the biggest tech IPO in a long time. Joining me to preview this IPO is Alex Barinka, who covers IPOs for Bloomberg. Alex, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
How come we're down here at the New York Stock Exchange instead of further uptown at the NASDAQ?
Historically, Googles, Amazons, Netflix of the world all went NASDAQ. That's because NASDAQ was known as being kind of the up-and-comer. They were the really tech-driven one.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of market makers on the floor. If you go into their location at Times Square, you know, the actual area where all of the folks who start trading the IPO, it's pretty small. And then they have a lot of interesting tech there as well. Here at the New York Stock Exchange, there's more of a human touch, especially for first trade. And you'll remember when Facebook went public a few years back, they came out on the NASDAQ and a technology glitch kept the shares from getting going. They gained less than 1% that day.
Yeah.
It was seen as this big debacle. It kind of overhung the first few months of Facebook's trading life. And, you know, Twitter was the biggest social media IPO after that, and they went New York Stock Exchange as well.
On the one hand, Snap is the most exciting tech company to IPO in a bit, at least for a lot of investors. On the other hand, it could go up in smoke very easily, I think, if everybody disappears from the app, as it were. What's your take on the company right now? Do you think it's overvalued or undervalued?
It is more richly valued than Facebook and Twitter was at their IPO. It's about double the valuation of Facebook. The interesting thing that's going on with this listing, as you said, it's the first social media company to go public since Twitter went in 2013,
yeah.
the biggest, let's say. And it's the first technology company to list in 75 days was our last tech IPO.
Wow.
So there's a lot of pent-up demand from investors who want to try to get into these growthier stocks. The bigger questions come in and the concerns that I've heard from investors are what happens after that. They've only been really making meaningful money, meaningful revenue for the past 2 years. And the company's actually warned against saying in their S-1, look, we might never actually be profitable.
There's that other thing that is always true, whether or not the market's up or down, which is that teenage users can be real fickle.
It is.
Right?
It's the millennial user. Yes, extremely fickle user base. Always looking for the next big thing. Always looking for the next communication app. So, you know, Snap says we figured it out once. You got to trust us to figure it out again. By the way, shareholders, these are no non-voting shares. So you got to really, really trust us. So that will probably be seen in the next few earnings cycles from Snap.
Alex Barinka, she covers IPOs for Bloomberg. Alex, thanks for hanging out in downtown Manhattan with me.
I love it down here. It's like my second home.
One of the interesting things, by the way, about Snap is it's popular but not ubiquitous. So we went down to Wall Street and asked some people how they felt about the company and the app.
I follow fitness people, so that's why I use it.
Would you invest in Snapchat?
In the early stages, yes. Okay. Now it's probably a lot more money than, than I could afford. But in the early stages, I would have, yes. That's a very smart idea.
I think Snapchat is in a few years old school. It's getting really boring. I think only WhatsApp will survive.
I don't believe it's a good investment in either time or money. It may be what I remember to be the internet bubble of the 90s or the housing bubble. They come and go, and then people who have their money in it may lose it.
That was Steve Orlowski, Zoran Zeter, and Darius Evans. You can watch the company's ticker, Snap, today. This week at Mobile World Congress, an estimated 100,000 people are in Barcelona to talk about our growing world of mobile devices. There's a catch this year. Not a lot of big brand new devices are being unveiled. Samsung didn't release its new phone as expected, for instance. Instead, the conversation seems to be more about all of the things that growing world of mobile devices brings with it. All of this news we got from Forrester analyst Julie Osk, who is in Barcelona and talking to us on her mobile device. Julie, there's some interesting news this year from wireless providers who are dealing with user data.
Yeah, I thought there were two very different but interesting scenarios from the carriers this year. The first is Telefonica, which has launched its version of a virtual assistant on the phone that they call Aura. And what they're doing is they're allowing consumers to see all of the data that's being collected about them, what services they're using. But I think even more importantly, they're giving consumers control over that data. So Telefonica is giving consumers both transparency into what data is being collected, and then the control in terms of who sees that data, who uses that data, and even the ability to delete that data.
There's another example that involves Verizon, yes?
Yes, Verizon was demoing a platform where they're literally collecting clickstream data from all of their subscribers. So not only are they looking at what websites I visit on my phone, but they're also looking at what apps I use on my phone. So I still, as a consumer, have the ability to opt out, but not with the same kind of granularity that Telefonica is offering its consumers.
Interesting.
So I think as we go forward, we're going to see a lot of questions around not only consumer privacy, but how much control do consumers want to have over their data? Or are they like, this is too much bother. You know, go ahead, have my data as long as you're giving me something in return.
Forrester's Julie Osk from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain. Julie, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.